listening to W4CY Radio, Palm Beach.
Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're on the Harmony Street Show. And just as I promised, from the Del Satins, their lead singer, Mr. Stan Ziska. How are you, Stan?
Great, Mike. Thank you for having me.
I can hear you loud and clear, and I'm sure everybody else can hear you loud and clear. Well,
good luck on your show.
Oh, thank you, man. We've had a few conversations, and you know, the Del Satins actually, they were one of my favorite groups. I love them so much. I saw them at the Brooklyn Fox. I saw them with Murray the K, and I said to myself, they are the best dancing white guys I've ever seen in my entire life.
They were my favorite group, too.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, from what I gather, way back around 1958, there were two groups. The Yorkville Melodies and the Jokers, and those two groups merged and became the Del Satins. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about how that started?
Well, the Yorkville Melodies were from uptown in 86th to 87th, 88th Street on 2nd Avenue in Manhattan. And we would stand on the corner. It's the same story that most groups have. You're standing on the corner and you're singing at 10 o'clock at night and someone's throwing water out their window on you.
Right.
And so one night we were there just singing, and a social worker from the Lenox Hill Neighborhood House came by and said, you know, if you want to get off of the street, I can take you down to the neighborhood house and you can have a room there, and it has like an acoustic sound to it, you know, with a little kind of a... you know, empty room sound.
Right.
So we went down there, and there was another group down there called the Jokers.
Uh-huh.
And there was just three of them.
Right.
And they had a great sound. And it was Les Couchy and Tommy Ferrara and this guy, Keith Kessner.
Right, some pretty good vocalists.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like something different from what we were doing.
Right.
And after we finished rehearsing, everybody left. I stuck around. And Les said to me, you want to sing a song with us? I said, well, I'm a baritone singer. I'm not a lead singer. I'm a baritone singer. He said, well, do you know any other songs? I said, you know, I know one song, lead two. Uh-huh. Ironically enough, it was Sweetest One by the Crests.
Uh-huh.
So I did it, and they liked it. And they said, gee, you know, what are your plans with that group? And the group wasn't really going anywhere, the Yorkville Melodies.
Right.
So... I said, well, if you like, I'd love to join you. And so I did, and I told them, you know, I'm leaving. And Bobby Fiella was one of the Yorkville Melodies, and he's the one that got me started in the business of singing.
Right. Now Bobby's not around anymore. Is that
Bobby
correct?
Bobby died two years ago, but Bobby eventually I got him to come into the Del Satins.
Right.
And Joe Amato was their lead singer, and he wasn't there, and so Joe left. And later on, a couple of years later, Joe became our guitar player. So he came back into the group in that capacity.
Well, that sounds great. You know, I want to get a little music on. I know that now you guys signed with End Records. Is that correct?
Yeah. What happened was we were in a contest of 500 groups. I think it was a week or 2 weeks at the Hotel Empire on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
And we won the competition.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, we did the Alan Frederick show, and I had written a song called I'll Pray For You.
Uh-huh.
And we went into the studio to record it.
Right.
Along with the other side, which was I Remember the Night, which they made the A side, but I wanted I'll Pray For You to be the A side, but it wasn't. And we got signed to End Records, Sight Unseen. I think that they thought that we were a black group. This is the sound that we had.
Well, I want to play that cut, I want everybody to hear I'll Pray For You. This is the first release by the Del Satins on End Records.
Night and day,
if I pray.
and me. Someone to love. He'll be sure to answer my plea and send me your love. Who will be so close to me?
She'll make my life a happy one,
'cause she'll belong to me.
Hi, Stan. We're listening to I'll Pray For You, and we've just cut it down a little bit so that we can talk over it. I'm sure everybody gets the idea, and I'm sure everybody has this in their collection. And if not, we'll recut it and we'll sell it to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the way it'll be. Now, tell me more about how we got up to Teardrops Follow Me.
Well, again, the Del Satins were, we would rehearse 8 hours a day, and we would just be singing all day and all night. And one night we were singing, and Jim Gribble heard us and invited us up to his office and became our manager.
Well, Jim Gribble had to do with just about everybody. I mean, Jim Gribble actually had a hand in the Mystics and the Passions and so many other groups. But
And we met Stan Vincent, and Stan Vincent was a singer-songwriter,
uh-huh.
and he was producing the records.
Gotcha.
And he wrote Teardrops Follow Me,
uh-huh.
and so we recorded it. But it wasn't the second record. The second record we made was called Remember, which was another song that I wrote.
Right.
And the other side was called Counting Tears.
Gotcha. So you guys, just like Johnny Maestro had all the angels, you guys had a lot of teardrops and a lot of tears.
Oh, my gosh. I look at some of these songs and I say, wow, you know, there was nothing happy.
Well, you know,
it was a great time in my life.
I'm sure because, you know, there's nothing better than the camaraderie between guys that sing close harmony, you know, together. And it becomes like it's an emotional thing. It becomes like a family. As a matter of fact, I see Counting Teardrops and Remember, that was 1961. And 1962, I'm looking at your discography. It says Teardrops Follow Me and Best Wishes, Good Luck.
Now,
actually, you know, and I played that for you not long ago, you know, when I was with George Galfo's Mystics, we covered that tune, and Shelley Brill sang lead on it, and I think I played it for you. And, you know, we had a little bit of fun with that, but there's nothing better than the original version of Teardrops Follow Me with Stan Zyska on lead. Here it goes.
Tell you, like I said before, who do I do when I get to my front door?
All right, that was Teardrops Follow Me, one of my favorite tunes. So, Stan.
Yeah.
I heard you know Dion pretty well.
Yeah, I know Dion pretty well.
I know that a lot of people out there don't know that after the break with the Belmonts, the group that was with Dion on every one of his hits, and I mean right down the line, were the Del Satins. Tell me all about that.
Yeah, well, we were with Dion from Runaround Sue on until he did Abraham, Martin, and John. I think we were with him 5 years, 4 years.
Wow.
And we did Runaround Sue, The Wanderer, Ruby Baby, Donna the Prima Donna, Love Came to Me, Lovers Who Wander,
hey.
Better Luck the Next Time, Sandy, Drip Drop. And then we did a couple of cover songs, too. I think we did one of the Cleftones songs.
Yeah, I have that tonight, and I'm going to play that one, too, actually.
Yeah, we had a nice time with Dion. It was really a lot of fun, and we got very well known because of that. And every time Dion put a song out, a hit, we would record because we were on Lawyer Records, and our manager, Jim Gribble, called us one day and said, how would you like to be Dion's background vocal group?
Yeah.
And at that time, we said, nah, he just left the Belmonts. We're the Del Satins, you know. And so we went up to Lawyer Records just to see what would happen, and we auditioned for Dion. We sang a song from the Dubs called Beside My Love.
Great song.
And we didn't even get halfway through it, and he stopped us and said, gee, I'd like to have you guys record with me.
Yeah.
So, and he was, it was like a mutual agreement at that time where he didn't want to be known as Dion and the Del Satins, and he didn't want to be known as Dion and the Del Satins. You know, we wanted our own identity. So that's why there's really no mention of us on any of his records or albums. And it wasn't his fault. It was a mutual agreement.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, Laurie Records, I mean, so Doc Pomus and Mort Schumann, did they write any of the tunes that were involved with you guys? Or because I know they wrote Teenager in Love. Or was it mostly Dion writing at that point?
Dion wrote Run Around Sue.
Right.
And The Wanderer was written by his friend Ernie Maresca.
Right.
And we recorded a song with Ernie Maresca called Shout, Shout, Knock Yourself Out with the number one.
All right. Well, you know what? Because I can't stand it anymore, I'm going to play Run Around Sue, and we're going to have to just go through the pain. Here it is. Okay. Dion with Run Around Sue and the Del Satins. And by the way, Sue really didn't run around.
That song was written for his wife.
Here's my story. It's sad but true. It's about a girl that I once knew. She took my love, then ran around with every single guy in town.
Hey, hey,
whoa.
Hey, Stan.
Yeah, Mike.
Run Around Sue. I'm going to let it play a little bit. And, you know, it's funny, but Dion did a lot of other tunes and cover tunes. I mean, you know, he had I have a whole collection of tunes that he did by other groups. And a lot of it was never released. But there were a couple that were released. There was one that I played last week. The Can't We Be Sweethearts tune, and you can distinctly hear the Del Satins in the background on that one.
Yeah, that was an album cut. A lot of his cover songs were for albums.
Uh-huh.
You know, he never released a song that was a cover song. It was mostly the ones that he wrote or Ernie wrote. Or
I have a rendition of Tonight Tonight by Dion that's just absolutely. It blows your mind because he sings it with such feeling. It's just amazing, and you know Dion.
And I haven't seen him in years, but I got in touch with him over Facebook.
Yeah,
Johnny Falbo.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was the guitar player on that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was Dion's guitar player on a lot of the records that we did with him.
Because you know Dion is recording a lot of his stuff actually in the house now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm going to play Can't We Be Sweethearts. I'm just going to cue it up right now and hope I get the right tune. And here it is. It's Dion singing Can't We Be Sweethearts, backed up by the Del Satins. Here it goes. Del Satins, Dion, can't we be sweethearts? Got a good friend out there. He's a good friend of yours, Stan. He's a good friend of mine. His name is Johnny Contino.
Oh, Johnny, I know Johnny forever.
Yeah, you know, he told me he was going to listen.
I hope he is.
You know, and I'm going to play a tune that I know he loves. And a tune that I know he's sung a whole bunch of times, and I hope he enjoys it. Cruise to the Moon by the Chaperones. Here it goes, John, for you.
Shouldn't miss
all
Chaperones. Hey, John. Hope you enjoyed that.
Great song.
So Stan, let's talk about the Del Satins. We had Freddie Ferrara.
Baritone singer.
Right. We had Les Couchy.
First tenor.
Right. Why don't you fill me in on the rest of the guys?
There was a guy named Keith Kessner who was an original member but never recorded with us because he went into the Army and made a career out of it.
Okay.
And that's when I got Bobby Fiella from the Yorkville Melodies to join the Del Satins.
Gotcha.
And he's the one that recorded Teardrops Follow Me On. And after him,
right,
Richie Green came in. Bobby left the group, and Richie Green was our comedian. He
right.
was a second tenor also, like Bobby.
Gotcha.
He was the comedian in the group, and people loved him.
Well, I do remember every time I saw you guys, and I saw you guys in a whole bunch
of
places.
I forgot about Tommy Ferrara. That's Freddie's brother.
That sang with the Capris.
Later on went on to join the Capris.
Right.
And Morse Code of Love is him.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You know, I mean, Tommy, you know, we did a show actually with George Gaffo's Mystics at the Broward, and it was one of the first times in a long time where Freddie came out, joined the Capris with Nicky Santos, and sang with his brother on stage, and then finished the night with the Brooklyn Bridge. One thing that I wanted to talk to you about, and, you know, there are a bazillion stories from a bazillion different know-it-alls that think they know the story of how the Del Satins developed into the Brooklyn Bridge and what the real story was and who was on first and who was on second. But I'd like to hear your version of that.
Well, because of our success with Dion and all his hit records, we got a lot of nightclub work, and we met Clay Cole.
Right.
And Clay Cole had a TV show on Channel 11.
I remember.
And invited us on, and we went on, and we became regulars on his show. We were on his show 2 years on a TV show. Then when the show was going off the air, I left the group on the air,
uh-huh,
and everybody wished everybody good luck.
Uh-huh.
And the Del Satins went on. I went on to form my own band,
uh-huh,
and the Del Satins went on with another lead singer. Don't remember his name right now. Mm-hmm. And then another lead singer after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Les Couchy got drafted into the Army.
Right.
Freddie met Johnny Maestro.
Right.
And I think Betty Sperber was his manager at the time. And that's when the Beatles came out, and everybody was self-contained. So there was no more vocal groups that used to go to the clubs and use the bands that was behind them.
Well, I remember Johnny working, you know, he had Lois Lee in the band, and she was on keyboards. I think I remember that. And they had a tune actually called Your Love Is Like a Heartburn with Johnny Maestro, the band, and they were still the Crest then, and Clay Cole was pushing them on his TV show, if I remember correctly.
Well, Johnny joined Freddie and the two other singers because Tommy Ferrara got drafted into the Army too.
Wow.
During the Vietnam conflict.
Yeah.
And Richie Green was still with the Del Satins, and it became Johnny Maestro and the Del Satins.
Right.
For I think about 6 months.
Uh-huh.
Then they met a band called the Rhythm Effort. With Tommy Sullivan, saxophone player.
I remember.
Of mine. And they merged together, and they went up to Betty Sperber. And she goes, how am I going to sell this? There's 10 guys. How can I sell this? It's like trying to sell the Brooklyn Bridge. And that's the story that I know.
Yeah, I've heard that story.
And then when Les came back from the service, he went back into the group, and Richie Green left.
Uh-huh.
And that's who the Brooklyn Bridge is today.
Wow. You know, and let me tell you, you know, they would not have that great vocal sound that they have if they hadn't had their roots with the Del Satins. So, I mean, that's really what it's all about.
The whole background vocal sound, as far as I'm concerned, was Les Couchy's tenor voice.
Oh, absolutely. Les has one of the best, one of the best tenors in the business.
Yeah. And we worked and we worked and we worked and we worked and...
Yeah.
We would practice all day and all night at the Ferraris house, and Mrs. Ferrara used to make us breakfast. She used to make us stop for lunch. She used to make us stop for dinner for pasta, and then go back to work. That's what we did. Everybody, all these other people were out playing baseball and basketball, and we were singing. That's what we did.
That's cool, man. It kept you out of trouble, you know?
That's all we did.
Dion told me once that they really never sang on Belmont. They sang on Arthur because people used to pour water on their heads and say, get out of here. What's the matter with you?
Yeah. So, you know. I believe that because it happened to us.
I hear you. Getting back to Dion, though, let's talk about the tune The Wanderer. Tell me about that tune.
Maresca, Dion's friend.
Uh-huh.
And we recorded The Wanderer, Runaround Sue, and Sandy on the same session.
Wow.
And I really didn't. I didn't like Runaround Sue at all when I first heard it. I thought it was a joke. I said, you know, how? Because we were used to singing stuff by the harp tones and the cliff tones and you know.
You and 10 million other people.
Pop chords and those kind of groups.
Yeah.
And so I didn't think that that was a right thing, you know.
Uh-huh. Especially writing a runaround song about your girlfriend.
Yeah. I mean, it was a major hit. And then The Wanderer came out right after that, and that was another major hit. And then he had Donna the Prima Donna, and that was a major hit. I think that Donna the Prima Donna was the last song we ever recorded with Dion. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking about how powerful Dion was, I mean, you know the story about Teenager in Love was written for the Mystics, and they were all ready to record it. Doc Pomus, Mort Schumann, and Dion came in and said, I don't think so. And then, of course, it went to Dion. Dion had a big hit, and they were stuck. Doc Pomus, Mort Schumann went home, wrote Hushabye, another big hit in 59. Yeah. 59 was a big year for Laurie Records, let me tell you.
Yeah.
All right, let's play The Wanderer with Dion DiMucci, backed by the Del Satins. Goes like this.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That was Dion and the Del Satins. You know, we were talking before. I remember going to the Brooklyn Fox, getting off at Hoyt Schermerhorn Station in Brooklyn, walking around the block, having to see an Elvis movie, and then Murray DeKay getting on stage with the dancing girls, and Mia Suri used to get on, and he used to do his shtick, and it was great. And he would say, ladies and gentlemen, the Del Satins, and you guys would come out, and your feet would never touch the stage. But you would sing, but your feet never touched the stage.
They told us, they classified us as the White Temptations.
Well, I remember one routine you guys used to do where you would get like a catcher and a batter and a pitcher, and you do like a slow motion baseball routine.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, I can see it vividly. And I would say to myself, those guys are well rehearsed.
Yeah, Freddie sent me a DVD. Freddie used to have a movie camera back in those days.
Really?
No video cameras.
No kidding.
And he had somebody shoot us, and they made a DVD out of it.
They had video cameras back then? It was what, two rocks and a lens or what?
But we did the Murray DeKay show,
right,
in Brooklyn. The Temptations were on the same show.
And yeah, Paul, I saw that show. I saw that show.
Was the baritone, and he was also the choreographer of the Temps. And in between shows, he would take Tommy Ferrara up to the top floor,
yeah,
and show him some steps.
Uh-huh.
And then Tommy would come back down to the dressing room, and we would rehearse the steps in the dressing room and go out on the stage and do them.
You know, it sounds like that old line, you know, when they would dance and somebody hit the wrong step, and they would say, yeah, we rehearsed in the car on the way over, separate cars. So,
but you know, and another thing was, the Temptations went on before us, then we went on, and then Little Anthony and the Imperials followed us, and they lived in Brooklyn. So it was like, whoa. You know,
Anthony's group was great.
I have an interesting story, if you got time, I'd like to tell you.
Yeah, go ahead.
With the Barney K show.
Yeah.
We had to open up for Buddy Hackett at the Concord in upstate New York. And we were still a vocal group, but the rules were that you had to use the house band. So they had a four-piece band. They had a congo player, guitar player, bass player, and drums.
I remember I worked with him there, too. Go ahead.
And they were called the Four Lovers.
Uh-huh, right.
Okay, and so now they're trying to rehearse with us, and I'm saying, you know what, fellas? They weren't, in my estimation, they weren't getting what we were doing, you know?
Right.
So I said, listen, we're just going to go on and we're going to do our own show a cappella, and let's be done with it, save your face, and save us face, and not have to hassle with you with anything. 6 months later, we're at the Brooklyn Fox, and Murray says to me, I got a brand new group coming in the last 5 days of the show.
Uh-huh.
They got a big hit record out called Sherry. I says, oh, you mean the Four Seasons? He says, yeah, that's it, the Four Seasons. Who do you think walks in the door?
The Four Evers.
The Four Lovers.
The Four Lovers.
Yeah, that's a true story.
Oh, man.
And Frankie Valli was the conga player.
Get out.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Man. Did we see, when we saw Jersey Boys, was there a conga? Yeah, I think there was, actually. But I don't, you know, John Lloyd Young was not playing the congas that night. I'm going to take 2 seconds out, and we're both going to say hello to Jimmy Gallagher, who told me that I spoke to him today at length, and he's coming on the show very, very soon. That's Jimmy Gallagher from The Passions, and I know he's listening tonight. So, Stan, say hello, Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy's saying hello back, but we can't hear him.
Okay, I don't hear him, but
I know, but I know
to
he's.
Talk to you, and thanks for making me your friend on Facebook.
No, I understand what you mean, you know. And while we're on the subject, June 16th, I'm going to have Terry Johnson and Teresa Trigg from the Flamingos. Oh, yeah. Aren't they great? I know Paulette loves them, too. As a matter of fact, we did some shows with them, and they're very classy and they're very right on the money, and just a great
group. Joe Mirioni is a friend of mine.
I love Joe. As a matter of fact, I have a production with his cousin Stevie Dunham. It's called Michael and the Dreams. It'll be out soon. It's my CD, so I'm going to send you a copy of my new CD, and you're going to send me a new copy of the Del Santin CD. And
I'm going to send you a copy of Still Wondering, and it's never been released, in case you want to do something.
Oh, no kidding. Okay, well, there's a lot of things we can do with it.
I have the I find my own CDs, and I sell them at the shows.
Oh, cool.
But I still have the DAT tape, the original master.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we went from that really thick, heavy tape to DAT, and then DAT became extinct. I have so many extinct DAT tapes. I don't know if the people that are listening, I don't know if they're studio wise and they don't know what a DAT tape is. And then we went to all this digital stuff, and everything changed.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Shout, Shout, Knock Yourself Out.
That song was written and recorded by Ernie Maresca. Ernie wrote The Wanderer. I think I said that before.
Right, right.
And he was Dion's friend
right. In
the Bronx. And he had a song called Shout, Shout, Knock Yourself Out. And because we had a lot of success with Dion, he asked if we would record with him. And we did, and it was a major hit.
Okay, we're going to shout, shout a little bit, and we're going to knock ourselves out. Here we go. All right, Stan. Shout, shout, knock yourself out. Hey, Stan.
Yeah.
How you doing? After the many, many hits with Dion, what was the direction for the Del Santins after that? I think there was you took a few twists and turns. I think did you have a little stint with Capitol?
Columbia.
Oh, it was Columbia, okay.
Yeah. What happened was Dion decided to leave Glory Records.
Okay.
And signed with Columbia.
Right.
And he asked us if we would go with him. So we asked Gene Schwartz and his brother Bob for a release, which gave them the rights to all the songs and the records, and that was theirs.
Right.
And Dion went to Columbia, and we had a meeting with Phil Spector before we went.
Phil Spector.
And Phil Spector, Phil asked us, he offered us to produce us, but he was moving to California, and we would have to uproot and go with him.
He never should have moved to California.
No.
He should have listened to you guys and stayed with you.
But anyway, he had that wall of sound, and we had a big meeting between us and said, you know, like, what do you think we should do? Should we stay here with Dion? Should we take our shot with Phil Spector? He's successful, too.
Right.
And then Dion says, you know, if you stay with me, I will produce you on Columbia Records, which was like, whoa, okay. And he wrote a song for a movie that he was supposed to be in that never came out.
Uh-huh.
and it was called Feeling No Pain.
Oh, okay.
The other side was called Who Cares?
Right.
Which I was very proud of that song because I did it in one take.
Let's play that one, all right?
Which one?
Feeling No Pain.
Yeah, great.
Okay, here we go. I'm queuing it up now.
I'm feeling no pain. I'm hurting no more. Come on and try me. You started this war. Won't bite you, baby. No ifs or maybes. I'm finished. I'm through. I'm over and done with you. I said I'm feeling no pain. Right down to the bone. You done your damage. Now leave me alone. I'm sick and tired. Baby, you're fired.
All right, while we're listening to this, let's talk about Still Wandering. And tell us about the direction that the Del Satins took
Well, the direction of the Del Satins. I kept the Del Satins going with Stan Ziska's Del Satins, which are very active today.
Right.
It's an extension of my trio, Tangerine, which works so much it's ridiculous.
Right.
And we got all the guys together. I met Johnny. We did a show with Johnny in the Brooklyn Bridge one day, and he said, you know, I got my studio in my house. Why don't we make an album? I said, great. So I wrote five songs. Still Wandering was one of them. And we covered five of our old songs, which was Teardrops Follow Me,
right.
I'll Pray for You,
right.
Best Wishes, Good Luck and Goodbye, Feeling No Pain,
right.
Sweets for My Sweets.
Oh, wow.
Does My Love Stand a Chance? I think that's six.
Uh-huh.
And then the other ones are original songs that I wrote.
Right, right, right.
Along with my writing partner, Charlie Aiello, who's part of Tangerine, and we've been together over 35 years. And he's also the musical director of Tangerine and Stan Ziska's Del Satins.
It's amazing when you listen to this stuff to hear the original Del Satin influence with the Dion little riffs that go on. I mean, that stuff just, it lives on and on and on and on. You
it
know?
Took us 2.5 years to record an album with 10 songs in Johnny Maestro's studio when he lived in New York on Long Island.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In Bayshore. I remember the studio. I was up there.
Session twice a week.
Yep, yep.
It took us 1 year to do just the tracks.
Right.
It took us 6 months to do my lead vocals.
Well, he's a perfectionist, isn't he? I happen to know that.
And then it took us another 6 months to do the background vocals.
Yep.
With Tommy Ferrara, Fred Ferrara, Les Couchy, and Charlie. Charlie Aiello.
Right.
Was part of the that
well,
background vocals.
How about we listen?
Another 6 months to mix it.
And the new version of Teardrops Follow Me was recorded in that studio, correct?
Yes, it was.
Okay, let's play that.
A lot of ardent doo-wop fans want to hear it the original way.
I know that, but you know what?
This twist to it.
This is my show, and you're my guest, and we're going to play the latest version of Teardrops Follow Me by Stan Ziska and the Del Satins, recorded in Johnny Maestro's studio.
Man!
All right, Stan. The new Teardrops Follow Me. Now, what I'd like to know from you, we have just about 3 minutes left. I'd like to know where people can get in touch with you or where they can get in a hold of a new CD from Stan Ziska and the Del Satins. Why don't you tell us?
Well, if anyone's interested in going to my website, it's tangerinemusic.com. And my my email is popstosh, P-O-P-S-T-O-S-H, at optonline.net. And if you're interested in it, I'll see what kind of arrangements I can make to get whoever wants a copy of it.
All right, that sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty good.
Still looking for a record label to put it out on, but...
What are your plans for the future as far as recording?
I have my own studio in my house.
Right.
And I do that. I've been doing that for 10 years now.
Yeah.
And I just like recording and writing and doing stuff with
it. I'm doing that kind of stuff, too. And, I still try to stay creative. But you're working quite a bit. You're doing a lot of shows, you told me.
Yeah. I just got called this week to do two last-minute things.
Right.
I was looking forward to the days off. I do over 300 jobs a year.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, during the day, the girl singer in my band, I forgot to even mention her name. Her name is Edie Van Buren, and she's been with me for 18 years. She's also part of the Del Satins.
All right.
She's also part of Tangerine.
Well, Stan, I just want to say that we're getting down to the wire here, and I want to thank you so much for being my friend and so much for coming on the Harmony Street Show, and people learned a lot about the Del Satins right now. Thank you for listening to the Harmony Street Show. You can reach me at harmonystreet@yahoo.com. We're on W4CY Radio. And this is Mike Miller sending you love. Be safe and be well. And good night from the Harmony Street Show.
Open up your heart, recall how it used to be, remember all the love we found.
Ooh. On Harmony Street, ooh, there was a place that we used to go. We were feeling down, and we were low. We looked into each other's eyes and found the way that led us to
Harmony Street.
We couldn't believe our eyes when we were there. Is it a big surprise to find we really cared? We looked into each other's heart and found the road was free and clear to Harmony Street. Yes, there were times when we had it all. And there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street.
Open up. up your heart. Recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found on Harmony Street. Open up your heart. Recall how it used to be.